This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at jwright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio dial, 92.9 FM, 680 AM. But remember, if you download the Odyssey app and you listen for an hour, you can be registered to win a slam dunk in Las Vegas. That trip includes round-trip airfare, five nights stay in Las Vegas at the Circa, plus $20,000 spending cash for you and three friends, $5,000 per person. All you got to do is listen for an hour, and you're automatically registered to win. Download the Odyssey app, log in with your email, listen for at least 1 hour, you get your daily entry. So an outstanding way to start off the new year, a slam dunk in Las Vegas for the opening weekend of the college basketball tournament. Dennis Fuller producing the program for us. Glad that he is with us. My co-host for the second time this week is the MC of Fun and Games in the Memphis area. He's also the host of Right of the Right Trivia Thursdays on the Jeff Calkins Show at 10:30. P.S. I need to send you the new link for Zoom tomorrow. He's also the host of 901 Wrestling. His website, CerritoEntertainment.com. On Twitter, on X, at Cerrito. Kevin, good day, sir.
Great to be back for Double Dose this week here. Feel like Saved by the Bell on TBS in the 90s. We're going multiple episodes here.
Back to backs.
Yes. Flip on over to WGN in a minute. And I'll have
yeah, more. They'll watch it again. Followed up by Family Matters. What were the like sweet spot afternoons? What came on after Saved by the Bell on TBS?
You know, it would just depend. You had some Family Matters. You had some Full House.
Full House, a lot
of TGIF action getting thrown in. But it's what we watched. Big Wednesday today. I'm excited. We've got so much to talk about. So much going on in Memphis and in the world of sports. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to doing Righter Than Right trivia again tomorrow.
Yeah,
I know the trivia
back.
People are.
I had a win for. For Jeff questions, which is a rarity. However, God's watching. No one's listening, just me and you talking.
Yes.
I strategically didn't tell him that you were sick until that morning, so I knew you'd be scrambling. And I also wanted to hold out hope that Kevin was hosting.
Yeah, I lost my voice last week. People
tough in your line of work.
It's very difficult. That's people. Jack Brown's yesterday were like, "Oh, you're not going to ask any of those Calkins questions." No, we don't. When Calkins hosts those questions, those stay in the Calkins
in fairness,
universe.
He would. He was frantically writing questions. I knew Jeff was scrambling when he got out like note cards, and then he's scrolling his phone and his computer simultaneously. And then he's like frantically writing chicken scratch to have the questions. So with all due respect, it'll be good to have the quiz master back tomorrow.
Yeah, looking forward to it tomorrow, 10:30. We have to know what the prize is yet.
I believe, we had a concert last week, another Win It Before You Could Buy It. Was it Kane Brown? We might have Kane Brown again.
I just love the contest going on. Just like, just for the record, I always say this like,
it's a dream.
The current one, by where you're you just have to listen, and you're automatically entered for listening to the station. That is so awesome.
And who among us has not, at some point, with his buddies, whether you were in college, right after college, you're trying to relive your college days, who has not had the idea, you know what we should do?
Right.
We should go to Vegas for the opening weekend of the tournament.
Right.
And there was like, well, you come up with all the excuses. Let's see what we got coming up on the program. It's Wednesday, so we will start the program with Buy, Sell Short, or Go to Reddit. Get into a few of the local topics. Coming up next segment, I want to discuss this with Kevin. Bob Iger, the CEO of the Walt Disney Company, a.k.a. owners of ABC, of ESPN, he today spoke on the conference call, and maybe, just maybe, Kevin, linear TV / Undertaker GIF?
It's coming back.
I'm just saying. We had some interesting comments, and there's some big picture stuff about how we watch sports on TV, and maybe this is a revolution by the people, Kevin, and maybe the idea that we don't have to just log in and out of apps, re-log in, remember a password, enter the right password, and still get booted out. Maybe, just maybe, there's another way. So we'll discuss that. Get into the list to start hour number two. Also, CJ Hurt going to join us like he does each and every Wednesday. Look forward to talking to him. Grizzlies tonight, it is in Toronto. So the Gabe Kuhn Show will end at 6. Pre-game will start with Jessica, or beg your pardon, road game. Pre-game will start with G-Darb at 6 p.m., then tip off with Eric at 6:30. So a little bit earlier tonight, only a 2-hour version of the Gabe Kuhn Show. So
the most interesting pregame action of the season, possibly, coming up here.
Yeah, well, I wonder if FanDuel Sports, I wonder if we're going to get some type of look at the national anthem, or is Canada now on pause? Is the booing on pause now that the tariffs are on pause?
See, that's an interesting point. Has Toronto played since then? Because
I want to say they played last night, and I think there were some boos. Now, here's the other thing about Toronto games.
Yeah.
Plenty of good sections have been available for Raptors games. So it's one of those things where, if 4 people boo, that's a decent percentage just because of how few people in there.
All right. Well, I mean, they won a championship recently, so it's going to say, it does say a lot, you know, about the state of the damage done by the situation this week.
It says a lot about Canada too.
Right, it says a lot about Canada, sure. But like, what is the Canada's perception right now? Are they going to hold a grudge?
Listen, I've always thought for a little boost of morale, invading Canada would never be the worst idea. Just put them in their place, and you know,
we are all due for a rewatch of the South Park movie.
Yes, blame Canada.
Yeah.
Let's get into Buy, Sell Short, or Go to Reddit. All right, Kevin, one of the tidbits of news today. Tigers also in action tonight, 7 p.m. down at FedEx Forum. It is a plus game tonight, so yes, you will have to deal with the ESPN app tonight to watch your Tigers play. But the news today, Kevin, the University of Memphis announced if you are a season ticket holder with tickets in the terrace, they're going to be closing off the terrace, and they are reseating you down in either the pinnacle level or the lower level. So they're moving everybody down. Buy, sell short, or go to Reddit. The school is doing the right thing by closing the terrace for tonight's Tulsa game.
Well, it's for one night only? Were they saying this is like a test, or there's a particular reason? I mean, obviously they have not sold enough tickets to worry about it.
So I think the obvious answer is they hope it doesn't become a norm. But I think it's also making the best of a situation where put as many people as close to the action as possible, make for a better atmosphere, and make, honestly, let's be real, make for a better visual.
Right. I think, it's probably, I mean, the right from a visual perspective and a game experience perspective, if, you know, as long as you're not sitting next to the wrong person. You know, I do like space. I like the comfort at the games too, but it's not great for business to have the space. Why not? Let's see. Well, let's try it. Why not? You know, you have this schedule. If you're going to be stuck in the American Athletic Conference for a minute and having to go through this schedule, you're not going to be selling out all the games. You're not going to be building the excitement. So you're probably not
getting a ton of walk up. Let's be real.
So test the waters. Try something. See how this works tonight. Is there a way to make it make sense to do this more often or in different ways? I don't know.
So to me, I think all the positives would be what we just mentioned. You create it for a better atmosphere, makes it look better. Here is the one, and I am somewhat sympathetic to this. If you paid, and I don't know what season tickets in the Pinnacle level cost, but
right,
we can safely say more than in the Terrace.
100% more. Not 100% more, but yes, 100% does cost more.
If I'm a Terrace season ticket holder and you paid the donation, you paid the extra money to sit in the Pinnacle level, yeah, and I wind up sitting next to you, are you pissed?
I mean, but it's for one game, I think it's fine, right?
Right.
One random game on a Wednesday, right?
I think that
against one of the schools that start with a T, right? Is it Tulane? Is it Tulsa? Which school is it?
This one would be Tulsa.
And then
both TUs, though, you're right.
But I mean, your example is what people say about, you know, the student loan situation here. Like, I had to pay my student loans. I paid them back.
I will say, though, it's a little bit different, though, in the sense of you don't want to fall into the trap of forget the whole, okay, you're upset. Eventually what your thought is, well, next year I'm just buying Terrace tickets.
Right.
And so you're going to end up getting, I'm going to end up getting less revenue from you. And so if I know that this is just going to become a regular thing, and maybe I have to sit some games up top, but I'm going to wind up, you're going to end up doing the cost benefit analysis of, am I better off? You don't want to incentivize people, I think, to pay for the lesser tickets.
Oh, sure. You don't want to have that's a situation a lot of people said with 901 FC was like, there was always like, if you were a season ticket holder, day of the game, they would like say the big flash sale of tickets. And you're like, wait a minute. I paid this much and I'm here all the time and you're letting these people come in. So that can disrupt people's spending habits. Also their loyalty to the team. But also look at it in a reverse way. Like, and I don't know how true it is. I'm going to follow up and with my dad. But my dad was always upset. So he was a season ticket holder for Tiger basketball at the Coliseum. And when the team moves to the Pyramid, the value of his ticket, you know, he was going to sit upstairs.
Right.
It was like he was going to get moved to the I'm not having any of this.
For
like,
those that do not remember, sitting up top at the Pyramid, you were watching ants. It was way up there. Like, you think it's bad at the Forum? Like, if you go to the back row of the Forum, that was basically the start of the upper deck at the Pyramid. That's how it felt to me.
He always felt like slighted, like his loyalty should be rewarded as well, right? And so I don't think, you know, he stopped being a season ticket holder. But like, why not have an upgrade game once a year where if you sit up top, we're going to upgrade you one game a year, you get upgraded. And whether or not it's an announced one like this,
I think it has to be random. It has to be like this. No more than what they did today. I think if you woke up today,
This is because this to me, I look at more as the bright side for the people who are sitting upstairs, who are paying, who are loyal to this program through what has been just a very frustrating stretch as a Tiger fan. And they're still season ticket holders to the point where if you're a season ticket holder for the upstairs, I mean, that is some loyalty. That shows that you care and maybe even
especially with this schedule.
Right, exactly. So why not have a surprise upgrade? Maybe do a surprise upgrade more than once a year. But I like what you're saying. It needs to be a surprise. Hey, you're getting upgraded. Like, you don't get mad. You go to the game and they like upgrade the fans of the front row, you know, the whatever. You know, they've done all those gimmicks before at Grizzlies games and stuff where, yeah, with the fan upgrade.
Was it Ashley Furniture?
Something like that. Yeah, it was Ashley Furniture, yeah.
So I couldn't remember because I knew when I was covering Ole Miss, they used to do that at the Tad Pad. They had the Ashley like love seats where you'd, and I was like, I think the Grizzlies did that too. Because Spirit of Disclosure, the Ole Miss guy that was in charge when I was down there of basketball in-game promotions, was also a diehard Grizzly. So he would just go to Grizzlies games and he'd write down the ads. Like, here's what they do. All right.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Shout out Paris. Love you, buddy.
No, that's smart. That's the way to do it. Be aware of your surroundings there. But though, Why not? How about this idea, Jeffrey? Is this a better idea?
All right.
It makes me think, because you go back to John Calipari, right? You know, he would give away a TV in the upper deck, yep. right? But you couldn't get the TV if you sat downstairs.
Correct.
You had to sit upstairs to win the TV. Would you be upset that I can't win the TV? Why am I getting these great seats?
No. I mean, I think I'm kind of presenting devil's advocate, because actually, Dennis, I'm going to buy this. I'm going to buy it simply because I actually think this shows some self-awareness, and I think what you run the risk of when you are in a league that most of the fan base, what would you say, is apathetic towards at best?
Yes.
And honestly would rather be just about anywhere else. I think at least it's an acknowledgement of, we hear you. And
I mean, you would obviously never do this for a big game that you have potential to push towards a sellout, or at least sell out the...
I believe the report came out, the Ole Miss game, and I believe the Mississippi State game, were like two of the biggest revenue games ever, to your point. Like, I think partly because the prices had gone up, and obviously two local fan bases that bought up the rest of the tickets. So you had higher price tickets. You're not doing that during this game.
And then I kudos to them. What was the buyer? So I even forgot.
They're doing the right thing.
Yes, I definitely buy they're doing the right thing. This is the outside the box thinking that you need to do if you are Memphis. And I wonder how much, this influence of Ed Scott there. I mean, listen to him on Jason and John. The program is under the great leadership right now, but I'm going to pitch them an idea. So I like this idea so much today that you're getting upgraded from the top for this one game. And I'm thinking back to the John Calipari, hey, somebody wins a TV gimmick that he would do in the upper deck. And why not just once a game, while you can, during the conference schedule, once a game, or one game, or not once a game. Once a season. Or maybe every game during the conference schedule. You figure out how often you want to do it.
Maybe plus games? If it's on
if it's on plus. Well, my idea was like to upgrade one section, right? Because he would give away one ticket. So you do like a section lottery at the beginning of the day. This section has been upgraded to downstairs. So if you got tickets in this section.
Price is right rules. See everybody run down the aisles.
Right.
Yeah.
So
come on down.
During the conference schedule, right? Because nobody wants to deal with this conference schedule. There's not one game anybody's buying a ticket for. Houston's gone now. Like, it's like, ain't nobody here.
No one even cares about the FAU game.
Right.
I mean, I guess I would probably say don't do it for the UAB game, but at the same time, like,
whatever. But, like, that's it. You have this lottery, this constant lottery during the conference season part of the schedule. I think you'd be more inclined to buy a ticket. Like, you have a chance to upgrade. You don't know. It's a random section is going to get upgraded. You're going to have enough seats for a section every game during the conference schedule, 100%. No doubt about it. There's going to be enough seats to upgrade one section from upstairs.
I can even
go downstairs and everybody running down
with the new lights that they have.
Yes.
Catwalk, like doing the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire lights, where like they're all going everywhere and what's it going to land on, and then boom, section 222 or whatever.
Right.
Like, it just stops on them.
Yes.
And then you see, like,
just do it during the conference schedule every year right now while you're in this conference.
It is funny to think about.
You got the seats to do it. It makes people happy. It's a spectacle. And honestly, it's going to get you some headlines as well.
It's just such a different world in terms of in-game viewing that 20 years ago, John Calipari is obsessed that the top of the upper deck is not full. And we're sitting there going now, like, if you can get 10,000 paid, not announced, but if you get 10,000 through the turnstile, you're like, that's a good night. Like, and that's not even like that's not a slight at Memphis. That just shows, like, in general, where people have gone with sports viewing.
Right. Yeah. I mean, everybody won those TVs from Calipari, and then they're watching the games on those TVs they won from them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Along the same lines, buy, sell short, or go to Reddit. The pack 8, 9, 10, 11. To be determined, Dream is still alive.
I buy that for sure. I buy that. I'm a believer, you know. Believe Memphis, Jeffrey. Believe Pac-12 growl towels. That's what they need to give away the next game. I believe it. We've got details
I believe it was Front Office Sports first reported it.
This is, Front Office Sports, what? They're reporting... sports networks are interested in showing sports games. That's what the headline
Correct.
Is, right?
Front Office Sports is reporting that the Pac-12 has interest from television networks about airing sports on television.
Right. I mean,
potentially.
I mean, to me, it was obvious, especially you've got Gonzaga involved from that, you know, from the basketball side. There was always going to be a TV deal, and more than likely, based off of how TV deals are going, it's going to be better than whatever deal this American deal is. So,
so I'm not as clear on that, but here's where I
don't know.
Here's
yet.
What I think is probably fair to say:
they still got to form a league before they can figure out the final numbers on something.
It does seem like though that they're going to finalize the television deal before formally inviting whoever they choose to invite. Now, with that being said, I think they know. The deal that they are going to sign, it seems to me that this is the case. The Pac-12 is negotiating with a TV consultant who is basically negotiating on their behalf with the networks. And they've been running basically, okay, if our league has these teams, what's it worth? If our league has these teams, what's it worth? And I think if you start connecting the dots, when Ed Scott mentions that he still had conversations with the Pac-12 commissioner, I would imagine that's the substance of those conversations, and you're talking about the number. And so what I suspect will be the case is the value of this deal will be probably even with what the American has. You could talk me into maybe slightly higher, but where you start to make the calculations are, what does the next AAC TV deal? And I think is certainly true is whatever the pack has, the next TV deal is likely to be bigger than the AAC by a substantial margin.
For the next one, yeah.
Yeah.
So there, it's an exploratory phase, but this is, I mean, the story, the news breaks that, yes, ESPN, Fox, CBS are talking with whatever this pack conference is going to be called at the end of the day. Still the Pac-12 at the moment, just not with 12 teams, not even close. Of course, that's not a requirement for your number anymore.
No, the Big Ten has 18 teams. Right. The Big 12 now has 16.
And at least the Pac has its own unique name, so you're not calling yourself the Big Something that has nothing. That's, too confusing. But I have never been, anybody who said, well, they can't jump because there's not a TV deal, I have never, that has never been a factor for me. And I don't think, based off of, I try to listen closely and decipher everything that Athletic Director Ed Scott says. I feel like that's not a big deal for him either. I believe he believes, especially if Memphis is involved, not that Memphis moves the needle necessarily. We've went through that. But, like, it's a credible team with other credible teams that there would be a TV deal better than the one in the American because the teams would be more
high profile.
More high profile, historically relevant teams. I still think, I mean, at the end of the day, the problem is the travel, and you got to figure out the travel thing, you know? Like,
I think you need to be sympathetic. Yeah. I'm not even coming at it from the student-athlete PR angle.
Yeah.
I'm coming at it from, look at what we've seen. The teams that are traveling multiple time zones, they look like different teams when they play, whether it be football, whether it be basketball. Like, it has been a clear disaster. And so this would be my question for you. Well, so we also got the news last week that the ACC had their
terrible.
Well,
damn, that's the news we've been getting. Yeah,
listen, there's been some heroes that have been screaming this from the rooftops for a while now. But ESPN exercised the final half of the contract.
That, yeah.
So that means that through 2036, ESPN has the rights and everyone is still bound by the grant of rights.
That,
what many people believe the next step is, by that getting exercised, you now begin the process of settling up with Clemson, settling up with Florida State, and let's be real, maybe who else wants to join. Would you rather hitch your wagon and hold out hope for what remains of the ACC? Or would you rather sit there and go, all right, as long as this deal, because I think the answer is, the reason why Ed Scott didn't do the Pac-12 or whatever, that was a bad business deal. They basically,
the deal was bad. The, like, money, the money didn't, like, make sense,
correct,
for the travel. I think that, like, you could go back, do we care that the volleyball team has to wait at the airport and fly on a plane and not a connection and yada yada to get there. Like, I don't know if you care as much about that or about how much it actually costs to do that, because you're, and how much it's going to cost to do that quite often.
100%.
I mean, Ed Scott has, I think, through this decision, has eliminated his name from contention to ever being the NFL commissioner.
Yes.
Because they are looking at traveling to London or Paris or
Melbourne.
Melbourne. We're Munich. They're going to go somewhere.
Oh, already been there.
I'm sorry. I'm saying they're going to put a team over there. Ed Scott's never going to expand.
You're right. We're going to Munich next year. We've been in Berlin. We've been in Munich. We're going to Berlin.
There you go.
Unclear if we're going to do it on D-Day. You know, since we've been doing the game and Veterans Day in Germany, that's still the biggest miss of all time. You did it once, and people, I think, very reasonably were like, can we not have picked a different week?
Right.
Like, once. We ran it back. Yeah, it's like, it's, but now we're adding, I think there's going to be more games in Brazil.
Well, they're one to put, I mean, eventually.
In 2026, we're doing Australia games, and I believe one's going to involve the Eagles. You'd think, maybe they'll at least do the West Coast team. So it's instead of a 21-hour flight, it's only a 17-hour flight. Nah, we're doing Eagles and Rams. I can announce right now in 2026, I will be betting the Rams.
The Rams,
the shorter flights. I will be betting the Rams. But like, it is you're 100% right. Like, no shame in the game whatsoever.
Right. Anyway, so that's NFL, they don't care about the travel, and they're going to put a team there possibly, right?
Hey, I mean, it's good. Fans first.
First
and foremost, Kevin, fans first.
Yeah, but the travel, you got to consider, and obviously at a university the size of Memphis.
Well, I mean, underrated disasters that have been happening, like some of these schools that, like you said, the programs that are not flying charter, so not the Tiger basketball program, not the Tiger football program, but the volleyball teams, they're getting like screwed on connections and like, some are showing up day of. Like, it's just been a travel logistic nightmare.
Yeah. So, but I still fear. I wish that there was more an aggressive way to get there. But you're saying the question is, and that is a maybe the millions of dollar question here for the university, the ACC versus the Pac-12. Will the Pac-12 thing not even be a thing when the ACC just starts adding teams? Will the ACC survive, or will it be dwindled down? And to the point where we just don't know.
So
but I feel like
for the premise of my question, let's phrase it this way. The two conferences that remain would be, from a competitive standpoint, on the same tier. Maybe there's one year where the Pac is better and one year where the ACC is better. But in terms of,
I feel like, I mean, the ACC is going to have the better chance of having the more competitive
You get it. The ACC's got this real identity crisis that they're ignoring right now.
I mean, they're not great at football or basketball at the moment.
Correct. And you're now getting into this world where, with revenue sharing, it's like, how many schools are going to be able to participate? Like, they have like serious questions that they're kind of not they're avoiding. And then the real question is, all right, it's one thing if you just lose Florida State, Clemson. Like, yes, you lose two big brands and you lose some eyeballs. But you start now tallying that you lose North Carolina with them, and then it starts to create an exodus. Would you rather?
Who else can go anywhere after that?
I guess let's say, would you rather be in the remnants of a league that includes, let's say, Louisville?
Yes.
BC, Syracuse, Pitt, Vatek. I'm unclear on NC State, but let's say like NC State. Wake. All right, it's 7-7 versus the Pac, which would include, I'm having to do this from memory, Boise State, Fresno State, Colorado State, Utah State, I believe, Washington State, Oregon State, because I think that was our joke. You had to have state in your name.
Yeah, you had to have state. Yeah, state. So Memphis need to go back to Memphis. Gonzaga State.
And I think there's one more, because I think they have to have 8 to be a conference. They only have 7 football members right now. But let's say, would you rather be in that league versus the remnants of the ACC league?
Sure. I think the ACC is the answer. The ACC is for sure the answer because and you just start because you started with Louisville, right? And I think as from the Memphis perspective, could it be is there a world like so Memphis jumps with Tulane to the Pac-12, Memphis is compared, Tulane is their equal, right? Can you get to the ACC and get yourself back to feeling like you're an equal with Louisville? Is that possible if you're in the ACC with Louisville and not being like necessarily attached at the hip with Tulane? Wouldn't you rather be like hoping to like at least you could say it in sentences and try to compare yourself to then Louisville again, which is your true who you want to aspire to be?
Yeah.
Not historically, just current day. Like so as far as like Urban University,
similar, yes,
right, very
city.
Similar.
They
setup.
Both have train tracks through that run you know in between major streets.
Historical, just the history of the programs, both football, basketball, all of it. Like all of it. It just lines up from the, but this and going down. I feel like geographically those other schools are closer. So if you look at the Ed Scott strategy of like it would be easier to travel in the ACC than it would be in a Pac-12. But the problem is, Jeffrey, they ain't offering anything right now. And how long are you going to sit by the phone and wait for that? Pac-12 is interested. Yes, can you jump to them and then hopefully save some money?
It's why I actually think though. ESPN exercising that option is probably best for Memphis because it allows them to. I think we're going to start
because now this makes Clemson and Florida State
means that they can
frustrated
and they can start to address that and figure out a
like this ain't going to work. Like numbers
are not a solution. So it's entirely possible you get to this summer and you kind of see where the winds are blowing and that might buy you enough time to actually be able to make an informed choice, because there's no question part of the problem when we went through this last summer was still people holding out for the Big 12 and the ACC because you'd clearly rather be there from a geographic standpoint.
And just the team, the teams you would play. I mean, obviously Gonzaga is exciting and you know, we've played Boise many a times, but maybe that's a scenario that plays out. Maybe it is, but my problem with a lot of the Pac-12 stuff, I felt like there could have been some more. We're in the era of public negotiations,
yes,
in sports, and I felt like there could have been some more. Like I wonder how I was very interested in the move, but like Memphis perspective, why is there not more of a clear like this? There could have been like some more negotiations. Hey, we need a little bit more time. There could have been some more public negotiation there. I don't know. We'll see where we end up.
I mean, I've got the answer for you. This is why you'll never get it publicly, but Washington, Oregon State had the leftover war chest. Whatever,
and they're not sharing the money.
Correct.
So they're just behind the scenes telling me, y'all got to give us some more of this money.
Correct. Because like in the end. Because
if you said it publicly, that would tick them off and then
right.
You would ruin your shot.
Correct. And I mean, this is kind of the other problem. It's like Washington, Oregon State feel like, well, no, that's our money. And we've committed to a lot of projects based on thinking that we were going to still be in a league that was making a lot more money. We need this money to fund our athletic departments. But at the same time, it's like, well, you're trying to start a new company.
Right.
You're trying to have a startup and you're not offering stock options. Like, you know what I mean? Like, basically.
No, it's wild. Like, to go to, like, the deal was, it was not a great deal.
No, it was a horrible. Like, that's the other thing is like, I found myself during that whole process getting frustrated simply because it was getting presented as, do you want to be part of a competitive league or not? And the problem is the offers were nowhere near fair. Like, basically the offer was, I think, $2.5 million of the, I think the Tigers were going to basically need $25 million to buy the exit fee. So basically they offered little to nothing for that, and basically they're saying like, hey, come up into everything and come join us, and oh yeah, here's $2.5 million. It's like, well, you don't have a TV deal, you don't have anything. Like, I just think
I wouldn't be worried about the TV deal, but the dollars and cents,
I thought it was a completely rational decision, because also I never believed that when they said no that it was forever. I think they said it's like, we're not agreeing to that, our phone, you have our number,
right?
Come back with a better deal. And I think that's what we're starting to see. The problem was they were going way
Does this magical ACC, new version of ACC, which is it's going to happen. Eventually, Florida State, Clemson are going to be gone from the ACC. It's going to happen. We know that. It would be stunning if they never left, given the current situation. There'd have to be like some major law changes in this country or something to prevent them. But the from actually leaving. I just feel like they're going to leave the ACC at some point.
There's no, I don't see, like, in the end, the best case scenarios, they come up with what once upon a time was referred to as the Longhorn Network.
Yeah, the
compromise,
Texas deal, a Texas,
which is you agree to give Texas more money to keep Texas in the league.
That just hurts your league in the long run.
Literally the next chance they left.
They left. Yeah. So,
like, you're delaying, it's a stay of execution.
Delaying the inevitable. And the inevitable that's going to happen. Yeah. No, you're right. But I guess my question is, we've got Boise, we've got, we got Washington State, Oregon State, or any of those teams invited to this new ACC before Memphis? I mean, Memphis is obviously
so,
makes so much sense as a candidate for the ACC, more so than them. But Washington State, Oregon State, they've been to a power
conference
before, but they did nothing with it.
Unless you believe that the ACC's grand strategy is publicly we're not giving an inch, but we know we're losing. We know that we're going to lose multiple members, and we're going to try to alleviate some of this Cal-Stanford travel problem. And let's go get some West Coast teams that we can do an East and West, and we can balance the traveling a little bit.
Yeah.
The problem with that is I do not know the legal ramifications of the schools that are joining the pack. I don't know what they've signed, what they haven't signed yet.
They could be, digging their own grave on that.
Correct.
Opportunity.
So, like, because we know they're going to have to pay something to leave the Mountain West. And so are they going to be paying double to leave again? Are they going to be able to do that? I don't know. But just based on, like, right now, an advantage that Memphis has is their only tie right now is to the AAC. And so we've seen schools that have been able to navigate that versus some of these other schools could have potential multiple lawsuits going on at the same time about leaving schools.
Yeah. And then we get the games are going to be on TV. The Pac-12 games are going to be on TV.
What was the term when we were applying for like our first jobs and you're applying for like an entry level job? Was it like geographically mobile? Like basically you're like, I'm willing to be stationed anywhere. Like you can move me.
Right.
Like, basically it's like, I'm young, I'm desperate, I'm single. Like you can put me wherever you want. Here's Greensboro, North Carolina. Go sell some food. Go sell some meat snacks now.
Is that where you went?
Oh yeah. I actually lived in Winston because my buddy was in the banking program at BB&T.
Greensboro.
So I just ended up living
Blair
with him.
Country out
yeah.
there.
We went to Raw at the Greensboro Coliseum.
They just got naming rights, I thought I saw. Is that true? Is that
at the Greensboro Coliseum?
I think was one of those like old like
I believe it is an
iconic
historic
WCW
landmark.
Buildings.
No, I think it is a national landmark.
Yeah. So it might have been that one, but it could have been any one of those Carolina towns. It was like getting their building named something else. Greensboro Complex is what it's called. No,
yeah, it's like their fairgrounds basically.
All right.
So
you've been in that historic building.
We got on Raw. My buddy was like, "Hey, let's go to Raw," and we ended up having like seats right behind the announce table.
Sweet.
So that was a fun one. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, I want to discuss the possibility that maybe, speaking of wrestling, Linear TV's having an Undertaker GIF moment, rising from the dead. Talk about the impact that could have, perhaps, on our sports viewing experience. We'll discuss that when we come back, right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Over at Zen Sports, if you make any qualifying two-leg parlay, you can earn a 10% stake back up to $250 if your bonus loses. However, to take advantage of this offer, one leg of your parlay must be today. So whether or not you're betting on the big game, basically you have two choices of this leg. One leg has to be a game tonight, and the other leg has to be a bet on the big game coming up on Sunday. However, you can use spreads, money lines, totals, and player prop wagers. So it doesn't have to just be you've got to take a spread here tonight and you got to take a spread on Sunday. You can take a spread, money line, however you want to divide it up tonight, and then you can make even a player prop wager on Sunday. Your first three qualifying Your first three qualifying two-leg parlays will earn 10% of your stake back up to $250. Each parlay must be two legs or more. And the maximum total a customer can earn from the two-leg parlay stake back is $750. Odds on the qualifying two-leg parlay must not be less than minus 250. So that means minus 149, you're all good. Minus 151, no bueno. The minimum bet is $25 to qualify for the two-leg parlay stake promotion. Parlay stake back promotions will be awarded to your Zen Sports account within 48 hours of the promotion once the bet is settled. The promotion cannot be combined with other offers. All wagers are tracked in U.S. Central Time. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions do apply. You must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Wagers must be placed following this email to qualify. Odds are subject to change. Only accounts in good standing are subject and eligible.
Any bets on FCS or Division II college football games will not count towards a promotion incentive. No exceptions. Not applicable, as I best I can tell. Not there is no action this week. Okay, Kevin, I had mentioned that perhaps maybe we were starting to have, for those of us that are still holding out on linear TV, and you know what's been actually heartwarming to see, Kevin?
What is that?
There's still the cord cutters out there that I contend they insist upon themselves. They have a particular worldview.
I'm one.
I've realized you're no different than people that like onions and mushrooms don't understand those.
I like both of those.
That don't. You're my wife, and she's just like, I don't get it. Why don't you like it?
You don't like mushrooms?
Can't stand it.
Onions at all? Like in other stuff? Onions on a...
You can give it to me in any form.
In any form.
No, thank you.
You're like
can't
a
do
Italian,
it.
Like on a salami.
I have been in the French Riviera on my honeymoon with a 9-course, 2 Michelin star chef. And it's like, I'm not going to be rude, but I'm just going to move this to the side. But they're all cut from the same cloth. They don't understand, if I like it, why can't you like it? Well, I like having a channel guide. I like being able to punch in the numbers. I like the flexibility that I have.
I'm not judging you
with linear television.
You need, I mean, you there's benefits to it. We've talked about it before. I do believe wrestling going to all these streaming channels here in January eliminated more reasons to have it. And also, I don't know if you saw this, but like Channel 5 just upgraded their signal. They made a big deal about this. They were putting out ads. Like the over-the-air signal for Channel 5 was always terrible. You could be like, you could probably live at that Chick-fil-A on Union and have your TV there and not pick up Channel 5 very well. The signal was always terrible over the air for whatever reason.
So like if you use the digital antenna?
Yeah, using the digital antenna. Because if you cut the cord, Jeffrey, you got to get an antenna.
Aaliyah had one.
But you can have one so you can watch the live programming.
Network
and
television.
There's so many channels. You won't even believe if you ever go on the amount of channels that are now available over the air, you're missing out on.
Oh, I mean,
watching.
I used to make the joke when you'd watch Grizzly games and you would see like X-Files promoted on Comet.
Yes, what
was
is
like,
that?
I was convinced that was that was like an Onion video where it was just nothing more than like, no, I found out Comet does actually exist.
So Channel 5 is upgraded, and apparently they got a tower out at the putt-putt there on Summer, but they've upgraded the signal strength. Also, side note, did you see the other Channel 5 news that Joe Birch reduced his schedule? Did you see this?
No!
You didn't see this? Joe Birch is still on. He's still on 5 days a week, but he's only doing the 4 and the 6. So he last week was his last week, or the week before.
So he's not doing the 10.
He stopped doing the 10 o'clock, and I guess the 5 o'clock, too. But he's no longer doing the 10 o'clock. So Joe Birch is getting off early now.
First Dave Brown.
But he's scaling back. I mean,
And Jarvo.
But big
Joe.
Shout out.
Our childhood is dying right before our eyes.
No. There's not much. But Joe Birch... I'm not sure who's doing the 10 now, but Joe will be on at 4 with Kim Clark, which is very old school childhood.
Old school,
stuff
yes.
Right there. And
Kim used to wake us up in the morning.
And then doing the 6. So, anyway, Joe's reduced his schedule there, but you can watch it easier over the air. You need that over the air, the antenna thing. I'm looking into getting some more antennas at the house. But it's possible to cut the cord if you have the right apps and you know what you like to watch and you have the right antenna. And apparently the antenna has never really been the problem as much as the signal strength. But what do you say? So Disney's saying...
Well, quickly on that, I'm going the other direction. If you're a DirecTV tech out there and you're willing to do business, to use the wrestling term, on February the 17th, we do not have local programming on President's Day.
Well, so you need the antenna.
I'm just saying,
the wife's antenna.
I can be willing and available during whatever window you need. You can reach out to me. My DMs are opening. I DirecTV Stream has worked fine. I need it back. I'm lost without you. Like it's sad.
Watch your local programming on the antenna. Some of these apps.
The problem though is then you have to figure out, because my TVs are mounted on the wall. Then you have to attach the cord that you need to go to the antenna. It's like I have to basically rip the wall apart.
There's the biggest assholes. You got to have multiple remotes because the Roku doesn't work for the anyway.
Yeah.
But You just got to figure it out. This is the...
No, I don't. I just needed a DirecTV tech that was willing to say, I can put the dish up. Your next door neighbors have a dish. You can have a dish too. That's all I needed. Instead, I got the DirecTV tech that was like, yep, sorry.
So we always like
too bad.
We always like to talk about TV news.
Yeah.
Here on a Wednesday on Jeffrey Wright and Company. And the news is that Disney is putting a focus, and they feel like that the network television, the linear television, is an asset, was the quote, right?
Correct. Quote. This is from Bob Iger, the CEO of Disney. We actually are at a point where the linear networks at our company are not a burden at all. They're actually an asset. We are programming them and we are funding them at levels that actually give us the ability to enhance our overall television business. That obviously includes and leans into streaming, which, let's face it, is really the future of the business. So you sit there and you go, Jeffrey, you said that this could be positive.
Yeah.
That still seems like he's still saying, well, we're still going towards streaming. Well, a couple other things happened, Kevin. In Q4, ESPN Plus, Disney Plus lost 700,000 subscribers.
Woo!
Not good. Not good at all. This also contrasts very differently with comments that Iger had in November of 2023, when he was lukewarm about the linear business, saying for months that they were not doing great, but they had seen some improvements. So this seems to be a continuation of that. And I actually think what is happening is we have actually seen what I thought was inevitable, which is there was a point in time, I'm going to say sometime around 2014, 15, 16, somewhere in that area, where cutting the cord was extremely beneficial to the customer.
Mm-hmm.
All the companies were trying to penetrate the market,
right,
and they were trying to build up a subscriber base. They weren't really all that concerned with profit. Well, now, as we got into the streaming wars and they were handing out left and right these absurd production company contracts to creators, and they weren't basically getting anything from it, but they were getting out like 8-figure deals to people. Well, now all of a sudden they've realized this model's not profitable and they're trying to figure it all out. And now what I think is happening is a lot of people that have had to deal with, I want to watch my sports on TV, I'm trying to figure this out. The frustration that you have from not being able to switch out of apps not working, apps sometimes working, logging in and out. I think everybody's kind of hit a saturation point, and what has happened a lot is a lot of people are like, call Comcast up, see what the deal is. Like, what? Call DirecTV up. I think what they're starting to see is people are starting to go back, like, it was kind of nice having this work no matter what.
Oh, yeah, I think so. It's a constantly changing time, but to Disney's point, right, they're losing 700,000 subscribers. If you have a streaming service, you got to have, you know, reason for people to retain the individual services. We've talked about this before. If you get a small child, you've got to have Disney Plus. It's just like the requirement, more than likely.
Josephine is absolutely going bananas and throwing tantrums, the only thing that will get her to calm down is Bluey.
So yeah, I mean, everybody watch. Who does not watch Bluey? But you gotta have Disney
Plus.
Quick
aside.
Yes.
So your daughter's older than me. You're ahead of this.
Yes.
I very much enjoy Bluey. I think it's a great show. Great kids show. 100%. Can we also agree Bandit is a terrible representation of what a father should be for our daughters? Because I have nowhere near the energy of an Australian shepherd. So I can't play games 24/7. And yet my daughter's going to grow up thinking like all I'm supposed to do is go into the library and play toddlers with her.
Now, here's the thing. He's
a great dad, but
he's
at the same
great
time,
dad. He is the example of what we all should,
strive to be.
To.
Yes, of course.
It's different. It's, you know, than some of these other TV dads that we grew up with. But he puts
Red Foreman was a hero.
He puts a lot of pressure on. The dad on Bluey, for those who don't know, like, he is constantly in the middle of an imaginary game of something with the kids, constantly.
With a 7 and a 4-year-old.
Right. Just constantly there is something going on where he is. What your kids watch on television is what they think should be happening. And they don't think that their dad should be a dog, but they do think their dad should be doing exactly what Bluey's dad mm-hmm. does. So, yeah,
yes,
constantly.
That's
I don't know what game I'll be playing today. I think I'm going to have to go home and go to a some type of a restaurant.
Okay, called, the bistro?
This restaurant, I think it's, she told me it's everything, maybe.
Okay.
Because she's like, she likes everything.
I thought that was that Asian Oscar movie.
Is that? Oh, yeah, everything all at once. Yeah. I'll have to tell her about that. She's only five. Mm-hmm. She can't watch that movie yet. But anyway,
all right, back to your Disney Plus.
If you're a kid, if you had a kid, you got to have Disney Plus. But if you're an adult, you don't have to have a Disney Plus.
Yes,
and you can easily cancel it. If you're an adult, you like Marvel, you can easily cancel and resubscribe based off of the Marvel content or the Star Wars content that's coming up. And the Star Wars content, let's be honest, has not got anybody excited about having to
for as bad as The Acolyte was, Skeleton Crew was exceptionally watchable.
Yeah, I hear great things about that. And there's also that the new Star Wars kids show that's trying to get the kids hooked on Star Wars. But
Young Jedi?
Yeah.
It's okay.
Y'all watch that?
It's fine.
So I can see like Disney struggling. Disney of all of them, you've got to have something that retains people, there all the time. But what's interesting because they added the ESPN stuff, which look, I check that out all the time. I'm always checking out what's the Disney Plus ESPN content.
Yep.
And it's been like a lot of hockey and college basketball games that are not related to any of the games that I want to watch. They didn't have Kentucky versus.
Can I recommend you start betting?
Yeah, well, then that's why I just need to bet only.
No, you are definitely going to have like a Charleston Southern UT Chattanooga game in there.
But he's talking about ABC getting involved with the NBA.
Yep.
Is a big ABC. It's really, there's going to be a lot of ABC content in this.
Yes.
Not necessarily ESPN because ESPN already has a deal with the NBA. So it's
correct.
ABC getting involved, which does make you wonder. How does that affect Disney's sports strategy? Because like the college football playoffs, most of it was all on ESPN. Like you had to watch ESPN. It was not over the air television. It was not your traditional TV.
Some of the playoff games got simulcasted, but not the champion.
The early stuff. Once you got past round one, I think you had to have cable to ESPN to watch it.
I want to say the quarterfinals because I think the Rose Bowl, I believe they did when they did Peach, Rose, Sugar. I think those were all on ABC as well.
Were they? Okay. I
think you're 100% right.
I've always been puzzled
by the semis and the finals were all on ESPN.
More stuff is not on ABC, especially if it's on it. Like, why is. And they've really been pushing ESPN, and then maybe they've got a strategy, or maybe this is a sign the NBA deal is a sign that maybe we're going to rethink.
I think
ESPN.
Ads cost more on ESPN
than on ABC.
Yeah.
Interesting. I mean, the finals, of course, still on ABC for the
NBA. I think that's an NBA thing.
Yeah.
They want to be on a network.
So anyway, that's the SEC football is a lot on ABC.
Yes, and that was a huge part of ABC having.
So maybe
a
we'll
good year.
See more of this college football stuff, and then we'll see how NBC handles. NBC's hyping up, man. NBC's hyping up getting the NBA back. You see a lot of. I watch Peacock reality TV a lot and see those commercials for the NBA.
I can't ever
shout out to Traders.
What the Big Ten? What have I been watching? There's been like Big Ten and Big East on Peacock as well. I swear, one of the most frustrating things is just not being able to flip.
Oh, I agree with you. I agree, and I wonder if we're going to get some type of invention or idea. And YouTube plays with that if you're a subscriber to, of course, which is cable for YouTube's cable. Because we really should be, as football's evolved with Red Zone and stuff, and you have the quad box, right? There should be more picture-in-picture quad box flipping ability than currently exist.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.